Matthew 10, and we'll read the entire chapter. And let's ask for God's blessing as we come to His holy word. O Lord our God, we give you thanks today for the truth of your word, for the way that your word instructs us and prepares us as your servants to go out and to serve you. And we pray that you would open your word to us today, that your word would be plain and clear to us, and that you would build us up in our faith and in our commitment to you as we meditate upon it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. And he, that's Jesus, called to him his 12 disciples, and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew the tax collector. James, the son of Alphaeus. And Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor a staff, for a laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that town, house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear then, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetop. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone will acknowledge me before, who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. May God bless his holy word as we look to it this morning. In the last part of Matthew 9, Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Today we'll see the 12 disciples chosen by Christ sent out as the first laborers chosen by him as Lord of the harvest. They are sent as his ambassadors to the lost sheep of Israel, commissioned by him as apostles to do what he had been doing since his ministry began, and to spread that ministry as more and more would be involved in it. As we look at the instructions Jesus gave them in preparation for sending them out to minister, we'll see what a true disciple should be and what a true disciple should expect as a result of being faithful in service to Christ. First of all, what characterizes a true disciple of Christ? Is there a difference between a disciple and a casual follower? Well, first of all, we need to understand that a true disciple of Christ is one who has been called by him and redeemed by him. And so that is the first and most crucial step in becoming a disciple of Christ. One whose heart has been made alive by the work of the Holy Spirit, who has exercised the gift of faith in Christ given to him by the Holy Spirit, as we read in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. This is crucial. Without this happening, one cannot be a true disciple of Christ. And that's contrasted with a false disciple, such as Judas Iscariot here, who pretends to be committed to Christ, but who demonstrates in his or her life that there is no commitment. Eventually, this one falls away when difficulties arise. And we see that happening in Judas. And it's interesting to notice that Judas is one of the ones here that is sent out. He sent out the entire 12 to minister. And Judas was putting on a good show. The world, Jesus, of course, knew who Judas was. But the world didn't really know who Judas was. Outwardly, he looked like a true disciple of Christ. Inwardly, his heart was not with Christ. A true disciple of Christ is one who is being taught by him and is applying that teaching in his or her daily life. Becoming a disciple, then, is a life-changing event. When you're called to Christ and you're called to be his disciple, that should be a life-changing event. That must be a life-changing event. A disciple is more than just a student, too. The definition of a disciple is an adherent who accepts the instruction given to him and makes it his rule of conduct. And so, notice that it's not just sitting and listening and saying, "Oh yes, that sounds wonderful," and then going on our merry way doing whatever we want. No, there's application involved there as well, making it his rule of conduct. And so we hear the word of God proclaimed, and we don't just walk away and say, well, I'll live the way I've always lived in the world. No, the word of God to a true disciple is a life-changing word, a word that governs how we live day after day after day, minute by minute by minute throughout those days. Not just something for Sunday morning, 10 to 11. There's a real difference there. A disciple of Christ never stops learning from Him and is eager to learn more and put what is learned into practice. And note the example of the disciples of Jesus here. They spent time with Him, several years, observing Him, observing His life, being instructed as He taught them, as He proclaimed the truth to them, as He made clear to them what the Scriptures of the Old Testament were really teaching and pointing forward to, that they were pointing forward to Him and His mission on earth to pay the penalty for sin for all who would trust in Him and to deliver them from that penalty by His sacrifice on their behalf, in their place. Now we see Jesus preparing them to go out and carry on the ministry that He's prepared for them. The disciples aren't just tagging along, you notice, to hear the good preaching and see all the exciting miracles. And certainly there was plenty of that in the life of Jesus. And many in the crowds that came for that reason, mainly to see the miracles being performed. But some to hear as well, but not necessarily to make any change in their life. The disciples here were preparing for active service to Christ, watching, observing, and listening as He ministered to others. And then Jesus gives them here a plan of action. And note that He's not just sending out the 12 apostles here without any direction or any idea of what they're supposed to do, and just saying, hey, go on out and do what you think ought to be done. No, He's preparing them, He's teaching them. And note here that there is a distinction between these 12 who are the apostles and you and I, as we're called to be disciples of Christ today. The apostles, the 12 apostles, were given the power to perform miracles. They were given the power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. And that's something different than what we have today. We're not called to do that. But we are called to do what He first tells them, proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that's the call upon each disciple of Christ today. These disciples were to go first to the lost sheep of Israel. Notice that Jesus brings that word to those who have had the word proclaimed to them throughout the ages. The people of God, set apart by God. And they are to go out to those people and proclaim the truth of the gospel. Here is what your scriptures that you've read and studied and tried to come up with explanations for over the years, the centuries, this is what it means. This is what it points to. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that is what they are to go out and proclaim to the lost sheep of Israel. And they were to go and they were to perform those miracles. They were to get their support from those to whom they ministered. And so they would go into a town and they would find a welcoming home, a home where God opened the hearts of the people to welcome them in. And they would live there and preach the gospel and be supported by that family and cared for by that family. They're to go out boldly. You know, as Jesus calls them to be bold as he goes on later on. And this whole chapter is his instruction. That's why we're going through the whole chapter here. This is his instruction. It's a fairly detailed instruction to them. And they're to go forth boldly, trusting in the Lord, remaining faithful to him, no matter what would happen to them. And so they're to set their heart and their focus and their thoughts on him and on his call in their life. And they're not to worry about the rest of the world, what the world might think of them, what the world might or might not provide for them. They weren't to worry about that. They were to go out and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And they were to do that boldly. And that's an important call for you and I as well today, as we're called to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand as well. And we go out in our daily lives as disciples of Christ. We're to proclaim that truth and not worry about what the world has to say about it. And so becoming a true disciple of Christ must therefore involve practical application of the teachings of Christ. Faith leads to good works. Faith leads to good works. We don't just stay where we come in to the kingdom, but we go forward and we proclaim Christ. And that's the call upon these disciples. And they're, of course, set apart specially as Christ's ambassadors, as the apostles. And we're not called to be apostles, but we are called to be true disciples. A true disciple of Christ, then, is one who is fully committed to him. He calls on his disciples to live out their faith in their daily lives. And it's important for us in this century to recognize that call upon each of Christ's disciples. And that involves us as well. For some, and as you look around, you'll see the church is little more than a social club. Meets twice, once or twice a week. We come together, we go our merry way, we live as though we never went there. And in many churches, that's the way it is. People attend worship services if there's nothing else on their schedule. Don't really get involved in anything the body of Christ does. And just go on. They've done their duty for the week. Go on as they would like. Seldom studying the scripture. Seldom seeking to apply it. Only following parts of the scripture that are convenient as they live according to their own humanistic standard. And it's a sad commentary that there are many in the churches today who fit that description. That is not what a disciple of Christ is called to be. There's much more to being a disciple of Christ than that. Living out one's faith is not always easy or profitable from a worldly perspective. And we shouldn't care about that. That's not what our focus should be. Our focus is not on ease of this life. Our focus must be on faithfulness to Christ, commitment to Him, obedience to His Word, a desire, a living faith that is evident as you live each and every day. No one or anything in the world must be higher than Christ in our lives. And you notice that he even speaks of the family relationships. Brings it very, very personal. Nothing is to be higher priority in your life or my life than Christ. He must have that first priority in everything. Well, what can a person expect as a result of being a true disciple of Christ? Well, Jesus made it clear to his disciples as he prepared to send them out that some would welcome them. And so part of the joy that we experience in the Christian life as we serve as disciples of Christ is that we faithfully serve Him, we apply His Word, we study it, we apply it in our lives, and people around us see that, and God uses that to bring them to Christ. And we rejoice in that as God opens hearts to receive the good news of the gospel with great joy. And we see people that we have contact with becoming disciples of Christ as well. But Jesus also made it clear to his disciples that some would reject them and their teaching about Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the one promised to deliver from sin. And the disciples had to be ready. They had to be ready for all kinds of opposition, from someone refusing to listen to those who would violently persecute them. They might even be put to death. It's a sobering thought as you go out into the world to think that that is a possibility. But Christians through the ages have faced that, as opposition to the gospel can be very intense and can even lead to people being put to death for Christ. Jesus calls them to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, to be well trained and able to respond properly to whatever may be put before them, demonstrating wisdom. How do we get that wisdom? We study and meditate upon the Word of God. We seek, as we pray to Him, for His Spirit to open that Word to us that we'll understand it, that we'll understand it clearly and be able to apply it as we live from day to day. And we demonstrate then the wisdom that God grants to us. Note that He tells His disciples as they go out, if they face opposition, don't worry about it. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. God blesses His people with wisdom and understanding. And as we face difficult situations, God is the one that provides the words to speak. The disciples are to understand how what they say will affect others, what the world around them will see as they interact with others. And we must be careful as those who are called out by Christ, as we go about our daily lives, we need to ask, what is this thing that I'm about to do? What is the effect of that going to be? What will the effect be not only on myself, but on the world around me? Will people see that and come to the wrong conclusion? We're to live lives that show forth the glory of Christ in everything that we do. What about what you say when you're speaking with people, your language, the things that you go to for entertainment? As the disciples were to go out, the world would be watching them because they knew they had been with Jesus. This is what the disciple of Christ is to look like, they would say. And we must ask ourselves, is what the world sees of us what Christ would call us to be like? Do they see what Christ would be like Himself? And I don't want that to be just a trite little phrase. I know there are trite little phrases that people throw around, and they don't necessarily think about what they're saying when they say them. We need to be very careful as we live that the world will see And the world, if the world knows that we belong to Christ, and they should, as we tell them, they will see the way that we live and compare it. Sometimes people who don't know Christ have an amazing understanding of certain parts of Scripture. Have you noticed that? I've seen that in various cases. And they're quick to call you on it if you fail to be obedient. The disciple is to have an impact that is positive for Christ, never compromising with evil. Jesus sends them out into the world. And we're to go out into the world. We're not to just be cloistered away somewhere, totally protected from the world around us. No, we're to go out into the world. But we're not to be influenced by the evil that's in the world. We are to influence the world with good, as God gives it to us in His Word to do. And we're to trust in God in all circumstances, to give us the right words to speak when we're confronted, to show us the right way to act in various situations, to be godly examples wherever we may go. And so being a true disciple of Christ is more than just coming to church now and then. It involves true faith. It involves true commitment. It involves zeal for Christ and His kingdom. And as we see that, let us commit ourselves to being true disciples in our daily lives. Let us strive in every way to learn from Christ as we meditate on His Word, and then put His teaching into practice in all the things that we do each and every day. Is your life a living witness for Christ? I pray that it is. Are you His true disciple? If not, come to Christ. Commit your ways unto Him and follow His teaching and His example. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank You for the way that You instruct us, as You instructed those apostles, those disciples that You made apostles. And we know that we're not sent out to perform miracles and do some of the things that they did, but those who follow You are Your disciples, and we seek to be those disciples, O Lord. May we be diligent and faithful in studying and then applying Your Word in our daily lives. Convict us where we fail in that, O God, and turn us more and more to be like Christ. Bless us as we go forth to serve You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.